Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. QT and Sign Guy with you as normal. What is not normal, of course, the situation all over the world, which has canceled pretty much every wrestling event there is. So, obviously, if you're looking for some pro wrestling, not going to find it today as far as live shows, but you need to get on the streaming services, the YouTubes, the Rokus, the WWE Network, watch yourself some professional wrestling. There's tons and tons and tons of hours out there, so definitely search it out. Familiarize yourself with some professional wrestling that you have not seen before. Countless options out there. QT, have you been watching some wrestling during the quarantine for this?
Yes, I have. And most of them, or in fact, last night I was going over videos of Haku. And he was most named in the top five toughest wrestlers in history, along with like Paul Orndorff. Toughest wrestlers. And gave examples.
Definitely imagine that out of Haku. So it looks like our guest has joined us, QT. Let's bring him on.
Okay.
One of my favorite people we've had on the show, and one of my favorite people that wouldn't have been on the show because he's all around one of my favorites. Congo Kong, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again, bud.
Always a pleasure. Well, we are in some interesting times here in 2020. Looks like most of pro wrestling has shut down as far as live events go, but we still have some options if we need our wrestling fix. And one of the things a lot of people like yourself have been doing, and I'm sure you've picked up some business on this, is gear making. I know that's one of the things you excel at more than anyone else. Can you tell us about your gear making business at this point?
Yeah. I mean, I've been kind of doing this, I guess, as a side gig more or less for the last 13 years or so. And now that, you know, pro wrestling has died down and that was my main source of income, I kind of have to rely on gear. So, you know, it's given me a chance to not only catch up on old orders, but, you know, try to squeeze in some newer orders and things like that.
Now, with the current events having popped up, have you been seeing a lot of new customers coming to you wanting to have fresh gear for when we can resume our live events?
Yes, more inquiries than anything. I think everybody's kind of scared right now and don't know what's going on financially, which I can't blame them. But, you know, it is what it is, and we have to do the best we can to get
for sure. Now, we've talked about this in a previous visit that you made to us, but I'm sure it may have changed since the last time we spoke. You've made some intricate pieces of gear for some wrestlers over the years. Some people request some really hard-to-make stuff. What would you say has been the hardest design gear that you've had to make so far?
There's been a Million Dollar Man-esque bodysuit, complete with like a tie that covers a zipper, and so there's also lapels and stuff involved with it. Yeah, that was nuts. took me a while, and the guy, he would get mad at me, but I'm like, man, you didn't give me an easy design here, so you have to bear with me, because I can't just spend, like, 2 weeks on you and you alone and not get anything else done.
For sure. That sounds like an interesting idea, Million Dollar Man-esque full body suit.
Yeah, it actually turned out decent. He likes it, and so as long as he likes it, he's happy with it, I'm okay with it.
Now, I know someone actually had you make a bodysuit that had not only a faux hood to it, but they also had fishnet sleeves. How difficult was that to figure out design-wise?
Yeah, that's been a while, huh? That was in my earlier years, so it was pretty difficult. But, yeah, like, I'd received some challenges since then. So, you know, doing something like that now is not such a huge deal. And I think I've done it several times since. So, you know, other than the having to sew through fishnet, which is a task in and of itself.
Now, since you last were on the show, one of the things that you have accomplished was you made your international debuts. You went to a few different countries. Just sticking to our own continent, you made your Canada debut in the last few years. Canada can be a little bit of a different place compared to what American fans are used to seeing. What did you think of your ventures up into Canada?
Man, I love those people. Like, I have yet to have any sort of negative social interaction up there. The fans are great, you know, very welcoming. The wrestlers, you know, they're great as well. I have some really good friends up there, and I'm so glad that I've been able to venture up that way and not, you know, just be stuck in America.
Did you have to make any real adjustments in what you do as far as being able to keep the fan interest compared to shows you were doing before that, or was it a pretty seamless transition to be able to fit in?
No, they like wrestling. They like wrestling as wrestling is. You know, some of them like the fast-paced, less-selling kind of ping-pong wrestling that you see today on TV, and some of them like the slower storytelling, get-your-character-over type wrestling, you know, that you used to see more of yesteryear.
One of the more entertaining aspects of wrestling for a lot of fans in the last few months has been the return of studio wrestling. The NWA launched a YouTube series where they wrestle within a television studio. The last few weeks, WWE essentially has become studio wrestling, trying to put out their product without being able to have fans at the shows. It's a very unique-looking concept, harkening back to the early days of professional wrestling when almost every territory taped their television in a TV studio. What do you think of the studio wrestling that we're seeing today? Do you think, by and large, it's working? Do you think it has the potential to be big, or do you think something else of it?
I think it's a temporary fix. For, you know, hopefully a temporary problem, you know, where, you know, people can't gather right now till this thing passes or whatever, because that's the big appeal of wrestling. Back in the day, they used to use the TV to sell out the house shows, you know, so people still on some level look forward to that big gathering, that big, let's go buy tickets to this huge event, you know, and watch it together type thing to see how many people show up to these things. So I think the studio aspect is fine for now, you know, but eventually you're going to have to, figure out some sort of way for fans to be able to get together and enjoy the stuff live, because there's nothing like pro wrestling live.
I agree with you there for sure. Now, when you were making gear in wrestling, there was also a new thing that popped up for you, and that was your own wrestling academy. You began training the next crops of professional wrestlers. I know you had a hand in teaching seminars prior to that, and maybe being a less formal trainer of professional wrestling, but you went all in with your own academy. What was the process like getting that up and running for you?
It had been, sort of a chore to find a building, I guess, more or less, than anything. I wanted to find one in my hometown of Fort Wayne, since it's a bigger city and it'd be easier for people to get to. But we ended up lucking upon a spot about 30 miles south of here in Bluffton, Indiana. And my very first start-to-finish student that I actually trained at Body Slam University for Heroes and Legends Wrestling, Mark Vandy, is my business partner, and he actually helped me out a lot as far as the getting the building and, helping with the ring and things like that. And brand new venture, something that, right now we have a small class, so we technically, still can meet. I'm always leery, and we're Lysol and everything and wiping down everything and, plenty of hand sanitizer. So hopefully before too long, there'll be more on the shelves that we can actually buy. So we can continue to use it. And, just trying to minimize, any sort of, outside influence on what we have going on, and I trust my guys and I've talked to them and, I try to keep them up to date on what I've heard in the news, and, how they can help protect themselves to help in turn protect us and, things of that nature, and, we're just trying to get through this situation and still not, completely be stuck in the house with nothing to do. Because I don't know how it is out there, but around here, there's no restaurants open, no bars open. The movie theaters are shut down. Even Walmart, went from being 24 hours to closing at 11 p.m. So, if you are a person who needs some sort of outside or social interaction, you're struggling right now. But, we just trying to do the best we can with what we got.
Now, since the last time I saw him, has Mark Vandy actually learned Carney?
Nope. You look at him and you try to say something to Carney, he'll do the smile and say, I have zero clue what you just said.
That is precisely what he said to me when I asked him. Oh, is there any plans to offer Carney as a course in the wrestling academy?
No, because I haven't heard it used very much in my travels. So, I inform kids of what it is, and if they happen to hear it, then that's they're educated on what it is. But I'm not going to be like, well, you need to learn this way because this is the way, they did it back then. No. No, I don't want to be that guy.
Well, if they learn it and need someone to speak it, I'm Flizuit and Kizarni, Brizother. One of the more controversial things in our business in the last few months has been that of intergender wrestling. A lot of people are supportive of both ends of the spectrum. It should not be done. It should be done. Some people sit in the middle of it. Where do you stand on intergender as it relates to wrestling in 2020?
Oof. I like to shoot. You would do that. I like to think of wrestling as if it were a real, you know, confrontation, a real situation, a real struggle, fight, however, scenario. And in my mind, you know, there's a chance that a woman could, you know, beat up a man. But when are those chances, you know, ever realistic? And I'm not saying they're never realistic, you know, because I've seen in high school wrestling where girls will dominate guys and become state champions and stuff like that. It happened, I want to say, in Indiana this year, which is awesome. But, you know, she was 110 pounds. And if a guy is 110 pounds, he's usually got no sort of muscle tone or anything that a normal guy would have. And so, therefore, that makes it an easier situation for that girl to overcome that guy in that situation. You know, when you're dealing with guys my size, I don't recall there being too many girls that would even rival my size. And so the idea of like me wrestling them, you know, I don't know. It's weird because, you know, I believe in women's rights and, you know, equality and all that stuff. But I just don't think that in that situation, we're doing our best to tell the story of, you know, a realism when a woman beats a man. And I hate to sound like that, but it, like I said, if I'm thinking of stuff in a real fight, what are the chances that I'm going to get beat, you know, by just a regular sized woman or even a bigger woman? Like, I've not seen very many big women that were so athletic or so strong that they could overpower me, or they're so like such good fighters that, you know, they could get that strike in that, you know, knocks me out or anything like that. So for me, you know, I'm on the edge about it. I'm sure I could try to figure it out and make it make sense, you know, to do business in that situation. I just, in my mind, I don't see it as being a realistic situation. Like, if I'm being honest, Tessa Blanchard should never beat Brian Cage if you're looking at it on paper. You know what I mean? I can see Tessa Blanchard beating Sami Callihan, you know, because realistically, if we're in a fight, Sami Callihan, you know what I'm saying, will probably get his butt handed to him by a lot of people. But, you know, I'm looking at the optics, I guess, of the situation.
Very well said. One of the other things that's been an issue in wrestling for quite a while, and it's become a little more of a issue at the forefront than it has been, is concussions in wrestling. A lot of the major companies have been taking extra precautions with concussions, having specific protocols. Of course, things on the independent level are much different, and it's almost always up to the individual wrestler to police themselves as far as concussions go. Do you think that there's anything that could be and or should be done as far as concussions go at the independent level of wrestling?
I feel like with it being independent wrestling, it's up to us to kind of police ourselves, I guess, in that situation. If there's something that is called for in a match that gives me the potential to get a concussion, you know, I mean, things go wrong all the time, don't get me wrong, but, like, I need to do whatever I can do to make sure that I'm not going to land on my head or hit my head. Or, you know, anytime you see me taking a big bump, you know, from a top rope or something where I land flat on my back, you'll always see me put my hand under my head just to hold it up, just to keep from, you know, my trying to keep my brain from rattling around inside there and hitting the ground and causing another concussion, because I've had a couple. I've been fortunate to not have, you know, anything to where it's affecting me long term, but, you know, we only get one brain and it's one life, so we got to take care of it. And, you know, I see a lot of the younger kids throwing caution to the wind these days. And that is probably messing people up more than anything, just because they want to be so cool and so edgy and so dangerous that, you know, they forget that, you know, hey, there's an element of, you know, life and death here, you know, where you can do things like apron bombs, but, you know, they should be done in a trusted situation where you know the guy, you know what I'm saying? You know he's going to take care of you, because if you go too far to the left with that bump, you can paralyze yourself. You can, you know, do many things, get a concussion. You can miss the ring apron completely. You can land on the rope. And all sorts of things, you know, could go wrong with something like that. So you don't just do that just to do it, just because it looks cool. Just because it looks cool doesn't mean it translates to fans, because a lot of times you'll just get a ooh, and that was it. And you'll still be that one guy that did that power bomb on the apron. Fans are looking for you to engage with them. So the more we engage with the fans, and the less stupid stunts we do to almost hurt ourselves, the better off we're going to be as far as, you know, things like concussions go. And, you know, like I said, yeah, accidents do happen, but we can do things to prevent the possibilities of those accidents, you know, happening to us.
I agree, and I try to tell the younger kids all the time the dangers of the apron spots, usually the very confused looks.
Yeah, they're like, no, it was. They did it on TV. It was so cool, and blah blah. No, man, no. Listen, like, the story that you're telling fans is that the hardest part of the ring that actually hurts, and everybody remembers their first and second and third time bumping in a ring, in the middle of a ring, and how bad it felt. So when you're doing those apron spots, you're telling the fans that the entire ring is some sort of trampoline, when we all know that it's not. Because when you took those first bumps, it knocked the wind out of you. In the middle of the ring where there's some give, and, you know, people don't understand the concept of gravity and hitting stuff that makes your gravity, your falling from gravity, come to a complete halt. It doesn't feel good. But yeah, like, I've seen guys, you know, do pile drivers on the ring apron and then throw the guy in the ring and the guy kicks out, and then the next move is like a jumping face buster from the guy who took the pile driver for a finish. And what we're doing is we're telling fans that, you know, none of this stuff is hurting, none of it's dangerous. This really isn't pro wrestling. This is more of a dance. You know, that's just something, I don't know, we need to take more time to think about. Pro wrestling should emulate a fight, an actual fight. And if you're dropping a grown man on his head and then he's getting up like nothing happened, then what are we telling people?
Well, I have been informed that when all this craziness is done later on in the summer, you're going to be venturing to a new locale, and it's a place I'm familiar with. I've been told later this summer you will be making your debut for Northwest Pro Wrestling in Vaughan, Washington. What can you tell us about the Northwest Pro debut?
I know it's in August. I'd have to look at my calendar. I am absolutely excited about it because I've never been that far west wrestling. I was supposed to wrestle in Vancouver one time, and that ended up falling through for whatever reason. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully, you know, that leads to something more, you know, of me being able to travel out in that direction. You know, because sometimes that's all it takes is a spark to get somebody, you know, interested in you. And this is set to happen on August 22nd. So, yes, look for me out there. Looking forward to meeting all you fans and you know, putting on a good show for you.
I've been known to roam around Northwest Pro, and they do have a lot of good talent there. There's quite a few people, I think, that would give you a very good match, so I'm looking forward to seeing the actual match, and more importantly, I am very excited to get you out this way just in general.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well, and it'd be good to see you after all these years.
Absolutely, and I will be there. Even if they don't book me for that one, I'm still going to be there. I'll just sneak in.
All right. That's awesome.
Well, we have a game on the show that we like to play. You have done this before. We call it word association. I'll throw out some names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Yeah, I guess my filter is not as good as it used to be. So if I hesitate a little bit, forgive me.
No right or wrong answer. So, all right.
Okay.
First name, Brutal Bob Evans.
Oh man. Extremely knowledgeable and kind vet.
Jeff Bundy.
A guy who would do whatever it takes to get to where he wants to be. And that's admirable.
Fala Ba.
Great friend. Funny human being. Absolute joy to be around. I know you said a couple, but.
Buff Bagwell.
Burial artist.
Jason Levi.
Good young kid, good head on his shoulders, and has possibility of being somebody in his business.
Tracy Smothers.
Oh man, legend, great friend, great human being. Always been a bigger brother or father figure, or I've never seen him say anything sideways to anybody. He's always been an awesome person, a great leader.
Missy Liz.
Who?
Missy Liz.
Who's that? I don't know her.
Troy Miller's valet.
Oh!
We might have heat with at this point.
I've never heard of her called as Missy Liz. I'm thinking of Miss Elizabeth. Oh, but yeah, no, she's awesome. I love her. It's my girl.
Officer Rod Street.
Chippendale. Or wait, no, Chip Dale is what he went by.
Jessica Havoc.
Awesome talent, very, very nice person, and like the whole smear campaign that people set out on her those years back is completely not true.
A final one, Dylan Bostic.
Oh, Dylan, 13-year-old kid lying about his age to get into business. Doesn't get much better than that. For the first 4 or 5 years, every time I would run into him, I'd ask him how old he was, and he'd be 18. So,
he might be the first person in history to be 18 for 18 straight or 8 years.
Yeah.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to QT.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Mr. Kong, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Mr. Kong, I'd like to follow up Sangai's word association with a very rare back-to-back, bring on the choice, bring on the funk. Usually we don't do these two word associations and bring on the choice, bring on the funk on the same show. But that being said, are you ready for a special edition of bring on the choice, bring on the funk, where you have to choose between two subject matters?
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Face paint or mask?
Face paint.
Okay. Russian leg sweep or Samoan headbutt?
Samoan headbutt.
Okay. 1969 Grand Torino or 1976 Ford Pinto station wagon?
Which one do I fit in? That's the question.
Oh, well, we would adjust your seats in both cars, especially the Ford Pinto station wagon.
Right. I probably have to go with the Torino.
Okay, that did seem to. In 1969, they did make more legroom. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
What if we threw in massaging beads for your seat on the Pinto station wagon? Would that sway you to the Pinto station wagon? Massaging beads?
Massaging beads. Like, do they massage on their own?
Oh, yes. You drape them over the back of the seat. And they massage you as you drive down the road.
I mean, yeah, it would just depend on if my knees are in my chest while I was trying to drive or not.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, duly noted. I've noted that. Okay. How about Clint Eastwood or Charles Bronson?
Eastwood.
Okay. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your favorite Clint Eastwood Western movie was? Was it Pale Rider?
I'm trying to think of the last time I watched a Western, let alone one with Clint Eastwood in it.
Okay.
Yeah, like that was my grandmother's thing, and she would make me watch him, but I really never pay attention. Sheesh. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Pale Rider was a good one, and High Plains Drifter. I just ask you this because I'd pay big money to see you on a Shetland pony. That's what I'm getting at, Shetland pony.
I'd pay big money to see me on a Shetland pony. That would be an adventure and a half, I would think.
Yes,
that thing would be kicking everything around it, kicking and biting everything around it, trying to keep me off of it.
I mean, a pale Shetland pony, because I can then say, "Behold the pale rider." Ooh, that would be good.
That would be good.
Very. Okay, Carlito or Kurt Angle?
Carlito, I've actually met Carlito. He's a good dude.
He didn't spit any apple in your face, did he?
No, he actually came and saved the day for me.
Oh, wow. Okay, can you tell us briefly where this happened and who he saved you from? This is huge.
This was Newfoundland, Canada, and I had wrestled Apollo De Leon. This giant jacked Puerto Rican guy. And it was also him and Savio Vega and another guy I can't think of right now. When they jumped me at the end of the match, and then Carlito came and saved the day.
Wow. Fantastic. Okay. Well, for us who have never met Carlito in person, can you tell us about how tall he is and how heavy he is? His weight may have changed since he was in WWE. Can you tell us the approximate stature of him?
I'd say about 6'1", 6'2", without the fro, about 6'5", with the fro, and probably right around 220.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Okay. All right. Okay, well, Mr. Kong, the last Bring On The Choice, Bring On The Funk, we'll knock this off after this. Stouffer's Lean Cuisine Lasagna or Denty Moore Beef Stew?
Oh, man. Lean Cuisine? No, absolutely not. Give me that beef stew. If it was Stouffer's regular fat people lasagna, then sure, I'd take it. But no lean anything.
Wow. All right. Denty Moore Beef Stew. Okay. In my mind, I thought you were going to take the lasagna. This is even more huger than Carlito. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not a diet food eater. Like I've tried it. I try it every now and again. Don't get me wrong. I love my vegetables and all that stuff. My only way to enjoy food is to enjoy it how I know to enjoy it, and you know, do it in the most healthiest way possible. I'll say that makes sense.
Okay. All right, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that your favorite vegetable is cauliflower. Am I correct?
No. I guess the one that I use most is onion, but like celery and broccoli and greens, collard greens, spinach, cabbage, yeah, there's a whole list of other ones that I would put above cauliflower, even though I don't dislike cauliflower.
Oh, I tell you, if you steam collard greens for about 2 hours and you throw in a little bit of vinegar and beef base and some ham hock, that collard green is very good. Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay. All right, well, Mr. Kong, tax season is coming up. Were you a big fan of WWE's Irwin R. Shyster?
No, not a fan. I definitely respected his work all the way from way back in the NWA days when he was part of Varsity Club.
Okay. Hey, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans if you do indeed have your taxes done?
I do not. Being a business owner, sometimes things get held up and whatnot, so I'm waiting on some more paperwork and things as such, and then I will get them done as soon as possible.
Okay, very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Kong, I saw your YouTube video entitled Robbie McAllister versus Congo Kong for Crossfire Wrestling. Was this the first time you met Robbie in the ring, Robbie McAllister?
In the ring, yeah, it was the first time. Yeah, he was a fun guy to work with. We had a lot of the same concepts of wrestling, and I dug that. Being two older gentlemen, you know, knowing that there's other ways to go out and entertain the fans than, you know, going and diving on our heads and stuff.
Were you concerned that the referee did not check under his kilt for foreign objects? Was that a concern for you?
Typically, if there's something foreign in there, it would have fallen out, I would think.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, speaking of Robbie McAllister and Scotland, have you ever been to Scotland, and have you participated in the Highland Games, of which throwing the caber and shot putting the stone are events?
I have not. I know people who have competed in Highlander Games here in Indiana, but no, I've never been to Scotland. Neither have I ever worn a kilt.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Kong, you slammed Robbie's head into a turnbuckle at the 2 minute and 37 mark, and he walked to another ring post, and you slammed his head into it 8 seconds later. The third forehead to the turnbuckle came at the 2 minute and 54 second mark. Then, in the center of the ring, Robbie pointed to his forehead, and you headbutted him, and he immediately went down. My question is, were you a big fan of Jimmy Snuka and his Samoan headbutts?
Yeah, absolutely. I always teach my kids the hierarchy of headbutts and how it goes from Samoans to black people to everybody else. And somewhere in there, Andre the Giant, he was a headbutt machine as well.
Oh, that's true, yes. He had the neck to do it, yes. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, Mr. Congo, you gave Robbie a belly-to-belly suplex at the 5 minute and 19 second mark of the match. And if you actually, I think it was a belly-to-back. And if you freeze the video at the 5 minute, 20 second mark, our Turnbuckle fans will see Robbie at about 5 feet off the mat and beginning his downward descent, and his legs are mostly above his head. I'm reminded of, at this point of the match and the freeze frame, of the Fosbury flop high jump style. But for Robbie, he is not going to land in a foam rubber pit. My question is, did you yourself ever turn out for the high jump in junior high school? That's what I'm getting at.
No, because yeah, me and jumping sometimes don't go together well. I do better throwing others into the air. So yeah.
Okay, all right. Not high jumping in junior high school. Okay. No. Have you ever attended the Milrose Track and Field meet held every spring in Madison Square Garden? Have you ever saw this track meet?
I have not.
Okay. All right. I did once, and I met the great pole vaulter, Sergei Bubka from the Ukraine, the world record holder. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Sweet.
Yes, Sergei Bubka. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Congo, at the 5 minute and 5:50 mark of the match, you came down with your right foot on Robbie's right hand, as he was using this hand as a stanchion point in trying to get back to his feet. Now, on our last show that we did this week, we interviewed a wrestler named Scrapyard Dog, and he told us about quite a few of his hand injuries that he has had over the years, including a bad finger injury. Can you tell us about your hand injuries that you have occurred?
Let's see. My left hand has been broken in two different spots, like boxer fractures. Both of my pinkies are kind of on the fritz right now. Hurt to move sometimes. And sometimes the thumbs get jammed quite a bit. But, yeah, that's about it.
Okay. All right. Standard hand injuries. Very good. Well, Mr. Kong, time travel is often a subject on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. And we spoke earlier of your belly-to-back suplex on Robbie McAllister. If you could travel back in time and found yourself in the ring with either Paul Orndorff or King Kong Bundy, would they have a greater than 50% chance in a belly-to-back suplexing of you? Would they have a greater than 50% chance?
Of them belly-to-back suplexing me? Oh, yeah, I would say so, yeah. Bundy was extremely strong. Paul Orndorff, yeah, he's another muscle guy. So pretty sure at some point, yeah, they probably would have been more than capable to give me a back belly-to-back suplex.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Kong, Robbie put his hands on your pink-clad manager, who for myself brought back memories of the outfits that Jesse Ventura used to wear. Can you tell us who this manager of yours was?
Alexander the Great, an old school wrestler from Ontario, back in the Ontario territory days. I don't know much about him other than, you know, what they told me, but extremely nice guy, fun guy to be managed by.
He sure looked like Jesse Ventura back in the 70s at Portland Wrestling.
Yeah, yes. I mean, there's a lot of guys in wrestling who aren't afraid to be boisterous and outspoken and look over the top, you know, in their roles as managers in wrestling because of guys like Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, okay. Well, did you have a chance to challenge or meet Tyler Triva before the coronavirus kicked in?
We've had some battles over the years. I've known him for about 3 or 4 years. So, yeah, we've been in the ring like quite a few times, but unfortunately we didn't get to do this last bit because he had to cancel the first time, and then we were going to go at it this weekend, actually, tomorrow. and that got canceled. So, thanks.
Okay. That damn virus. Okay. Well, Mr. Congo, Sign Guy earlier spoke to you about fishnet sleeves. What if Shark Boy contacted you to have you make him a full-length shark suit? A shark suit. Would you construct an outfit for him, perhaps with a fine mesh metal frame, with a styrofoam and epoxy resin outer coat, complete with dorsal fin? Would this be a first-time construction project for you?
Yeah, it would, but I'd just get some of that stuff that you see on the YouTube commercials that the guy made the glass boat out of or whatever. Yeah, just get some of that and put it on top of it. He'd be good.
Oh, okay. I just asked this because in seventh grade art class, we had a coat hanger frame, and we put like this paper mache that was coated with, I don't know, I think it was glue or something, and I made a camel. A camel.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I could see you doing this for Shark Boy with a dorsal fin. That's what I'm getting at. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Mr. Kong, when your manager was speaking on the microphone at the 14-minute and 27 mark of the match, I was reminded of a Northwest manager whose name is Mr. Ooh La La. Have you ever heard or met this manager in the that was managing in the Northwest, Mr. Ooh La La?
I have not.
Okay. Can you give our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners your top three managers of all time, and was Jimmy Hart one of them?
So top three just wrestling managers, not just guys that manage me. Okay, gotcha. Jimmy Hart, I don't know, man. Not in the top three, top five for sure. But Bobby Heenan, not Jimmy Hart. Bobby Heenan, Slick.
Really Blassie.
I don't have very much memory of Freddie Blassie. I'm sure he'd be in the top 10, of course. But, yeah, Bobby Heenan, Slick, and I want to say Paul Lee.
Ooh, very good choice. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Kong, were you a big fan of Ron Simmons and his damn legacy?
Yeah, I was a fan of Ron Simmons a long time before that, back when he body slammed or power slammed Big Van Vader and became the first black WCW heavyweight champion.
Is it true that he could bench press 500 pounds without training very seriously?
I'm pretty sure it is. Like, I've never had to question him on that, but yeah, look at him. I'd imagine he can throw 500 pounds around with no issue at all.
Wow. Holy. Now, you see, if you take away one of those zeros, I can throw that weight around pretty good. 50. 50. All right. Well, Mr. Kong, I also hope to be at Vaughn, Washington for Northwest Pro when you make your Northwest debut. A question that comes to mind is, how tolerant are you of fans holding up signs that may or may not relate to wrestling?
As long as they're engaged in the match, then I'm okay with it. If they're there just to be disruptive, then they might get said sign ripped up.
Okay, what if a fan held up a sign accusing you of stealing their hot dog? How would you react?
I'd probably see if they had a hot dog for me to come steal, then steal it.
Oh, okay. Ooh, boy, all right. Okay, well, Mr. Kong, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy and stay well in this coronavirus time in our history.
You do the same. Thank you.
Okay, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Kongo Kong, as someone that has been around for quite a while and as someone that has traveled quite a bit in the last few years, you probably have an opinion on this for our younger listeners that might be starting out wrestling, that might be thinking of doing some traveling and need help. What would you say are the best advices that you could give someone as far as getting post-show food when the show is over and it might be late, but they still need to eat? What would you say should be some of the things that they consider?
Well, yeah, the time is obviously, you know, whether or not they're closing soon or not. I would look on Google and review the amount of stars that said restaurant might have. And just get the local people's take on, you know, what's good in the area.
Now, as someone that has traveled internationally in the last few years, going to a few different countries, has adjusting to the food been a problem for you, or was it a relatively smooth adjustment?
The only place I ever had any issue was in India. I'm not a fan of curry, and I'm definitely not a vegetarian. And then also, I like beef, and there was no beef there, but they had lamb, and it was okay. And really, once we went into the Himalayas and stayed up there, the food became a whole lot more enjoyable.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, so if you have anything you want to say to the listeners, if you want to plug and promote anything and everything, social medias, how to get gear, the upcoming appearances, if those are applicable, your favorite laundromat, anything you would like, floor is all yours.
Yeah, if you feel the need to get in contact with me or, you know, just want to follow me on social media, you can catch me at Real Kongo Kong on Twitter, Kong Osiris, that's KONGOSYRIS78 on Instagram, Steve Olson on Facebook or Kongo Kong, or you can check out my Juggernaut Gear by Osiris page If you're looking for wrestling gear, and also if you happen to be probably better in this hemisphere as opposed to way out in Washington, but if you happen to be looking for a place to train to become a professional wrestler, you can also check out Professor Kong's Wrestling Academy. Just hit me up, shoot me a message. You know, you want to offer a word of encouragement, I would definitely return the favor and send you one back, because we all need to be kind and nice to each other. If you want to send me money for whatever reason, contact me and I'll give you my Cash App. I just figured I'd throw that out there since I'm not really working right now. Seriously, if you're looking for gear, that's the service that I love to provide. So give me a contact. Really, if you hit me up at any of those places that I mentioned, we can discuss gear orders. It doesn't have to be the Juggernaut Gear by Osiris page or anything like that. So, yeah.
Well, I look very forward to August when you finally get to this part of the country. It's been a long time in the coming, but looks like we're finally getting there, and I'm excited for that.
I am as well. I can't wait to see what that side of the continent looks like.
Absolutely. Hopefully you like coffee, because we got a lot of great coffee out here.
Oh, man. I'll be in heaven.
I think you will be. Well, fans, definitely, if you haven't seen him, get on your YouTubes, look up Kongo Kong, look up Osiris, watch what he does. True master of the game. You will definitely be impressed. And if you are a professional wrestler in need of new gear, if you want to come back when live shows are happening with fresh set of gear or a different look, then you definitely need this man to make your gear. He is the absolute best, as I have said many, 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 many times on this very program. There is no better. So contact him to get your gear needs met. We will be back with you on Sunday afternoon. Trey Havoc will be our guest on Sunday. So definitely stay safe out there. It's definitely a unique time to be alive. But everybody stay safe, and we will be back with you Sunday afternoon.